Almighty God, our Father, whose name is honored by innumerable angels and by the multitude of thy saints, come in this hour and bless us with the radiance of thy glory. Grant us an awareness of thy grace, a confidence in thy keeping, and the inspiration of thy calling. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
The New Testament lesson is found in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. This is the ministry of the new agreement which God in his mercy has given us, and nothing can daunt us. We use no hocus pocus, no clever tricks, no dishonest manipulation of the word of God. We speak the plain truth, and so commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel is veiled, the veil must be in the minds of those who are spiritually dying. The spirit of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, and prevents the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, from shining on them. For it is Christ Jesus the Lord whom we preach, not ourselves. We are your servants for his sake. God, who first ordered light to shine in darkness, has flooded our hearts with his light. We now can enlighten men only because we can give them knowledge of the glory of God as we see it in the face of Jesus Christ. This priceless treasure we hold, so to speak, in a common earthenware jar to show that the splendid power of it belongs to God and not to us.
Each year, the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary presents a few awards for our distinguished work. I recognize at this time Professor George Schreiber, Jr., who will present an award.
I'm happy to make the presentation of the annual Sidnor L. Staley Church History Award for Excellence in Term Paper Research and Composition, this year given to Mr. Tracy D. Floyd, Jr., for his research paper entitled An Investigation of Roger Williams' Concept of Religious Liberty with Emphasis Upon His Image in American Historiography. Will he please come to the platform? Because of the merit of the papers this year, a second award is made in the form of Philip Schaff's The Creeds of Christendom, Volume 3, to Mr. Willard A. Brown, Jr., for his research paper entitled William Heth Whitsett, A Case Study of Thought Suppression in the Southern Baptist Denomination. Will he please come to the platform?
I recognize Professor John R. Durham, who will present awards, one of which is a prize in Hebrew, endowed by Dr. Durham and his father in memory of Dr. Durham's mother, and presented for the first time today. Dr. Durham.
President Binkley. The Robert T. Daniel Award in Old Testament was presented for the first time in 1961 and has been given annually since then to a student who has demonstrated exceptional ability and achievement in the study of the Old Testament. It is a cash award for the purchase of books in the Old Testament field. The recipient of this award for 1968 is Mr. Jack B. Lemons. Will Mr. Lemons please come to the platform at this time? Mr. Lemons, on behalf of the donors to the endowment of the R.T. Daniel Award and representing my colleagues in the Old Testament field, I'm honored to present you with this award. The Francis Jackson Durham Hebrew Prize is an annual prize awarded to the student who, in the judgment of the professors who teach biblical Hebrew, has shown proficiency in the mastery of the Hebrew language. This prize was given, as President Binkley has said, for the first time this year, and the first recipient is Mr. Joel F. Drinkard, Jr. Will Mr. Drinkard please come to the platform at this time? This prize is given in books related to the study of biblical Hebrew. Mr. Drinkert has selected the Kohler Baumgartner Lexicon in Veteris Testamenti Libros and the Ugaritic textbook of C.H. Gordon. Mr. Drinkert, on behalf of the donors to the endowment of the Francis Jackson Durham Hebrew Prize and representing my colleagues who teach biblical Hebrew, I am honored to present you with this prize.
I recognize Professor Archie L. Nations, who will present an award.
The Nannie Bruce Nelson Award was established in 1966 to be bestowed each commencement upon a graduating senior who has demonstrated excellence in the study of the New Testament. It is with great pleasure that I present this award this year to Mr. Joseph Tripp Knoll. Would Mr. Knoll come forward, please?
I recognize Professor J. Carroll Trotter, Jr., who will present an award.
For a number of years now, the American Bible Society has made available to us an award to be presented to a member of this student body. This award is in the form of a student's loose-leaf New Testament, Revised Standard Version, and it is presented for excellence in the public reading of the Scripture. This year, the recipient of this award is Mr. L. Glenn Hodge. Is Mr. Hodge in the audience? This New Testament was awarded to L. Glenn Hodge, Jr., for excellence in the public reading of the Scriptures by the American Bible Society, New York City, New York.
We desire to recognize the families and friends of all our graduates. If you are a member of the family or a visiting friend of any one of these students, we invite you to stand as his or her name is called and remain standing until the certificate or diploma has been received. We are now ready to present certificates in theology and degrees to candidates approved by the faculty.
President Binkley.
Dean Brown.
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the certificate in theology, that you may present to them that award.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I award each of you this certificate in theology with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your certificate.
Homer T. Bumgardner. Charles E. Clark. Alfred Lee Day. William E. Day. Helene Suttles Divinny. R. Graham Elmore. H. Kendall Hastings. Jean Edward Hobbs. Roy Thomas Jester. Bobby Theodore McDaniel. Archie Gerald McKay. M. B. Motts. Earl Dean Ombe. Joe Kelly Proctor. William Richardson Sr. Ernest Wilkes Skinner. Ivy Alexander Smith. A. William Stebbins. Douglas B. Willett. Howard Von Wood. Robert Lee Woodson. President Binkley.
Dean Brown.
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Divinity, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining, now under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your diploma.
James Howard Alsop. John L. Author, Jr. William A. Atchison. Joe Rufus Babb. J. Stansel Baucom. Warner Cecil Ballman, Jr. Gilmer Johnson Beck. Richard Landrum Bowen. Jimmy C. Brackett. David Eugene Brooks. Yates M. Brooks. Joseph Edward Buck. William Reed Buckaloo. James Carlton Burke, Jr. Robert Jackson Burns. Stanley Parton Cabell. Joseph Vanderbilt Cappell III. Joe Wesley Chandler. Thomas Arnold Cherry. Lewis Henry Coker. Arthur Breland Collier, Jr. Evelyn Virginia Cook. Ivy Clinton Cook. Jackie Bernard Cooper. Jackie Lee Crater. Edwin Curtis Dacus. James Garthen Davenport. Bobby Jean Devine. Calvin Wayne Dixon. James Lerlin Dow. Joel Flood Drinker, Jr. Thomas Bruce Dudley. Alvin Stanley Ellis. Floyd Aradell Enzor. Roy Newton Ford, Jr. David Lloyd Giffen. Augustus Byron Green, Jr. Ralph Houston Grollo, Jr. Jimmy Leon Hancock. John Cullen Harris. William Henry Hightower. Herbert Leroy Hutmacher. Clarence B. Jackson. Alfred Marion Johnson, Jr. Perry Buren Jones. Jeffrey O'Neill Kelly. Clyde Nolan Curley. Tommy Michael Lanassa. James Clyde Lewis. Raymond George MacPherson. Bert Edmund Martin. Ralph Edward Medlock, Jr. Ernest Claxton Mills. Donald Mims. Jeff Randall Michaud. Nathan Levon Modling, Jr. Doyle Graves Moore. Kenneth Bellino Morgan. Russell Charles Morris. Joseph Tripp Knoll. Charles Richard Neely. Robert Franklin Oates. Walter Edwin O'Neill. Ernest Edward Osmore, Jr. James Tunstall Parker, Jr. Larry Benjamin Patton. William Ray Pennell. John Stephen Perot, Jr. Leslie Jervis Phillips, Jr. Marshall Lee Pridgen. Melvin Dean Rabb. Charles Ray Rackley. Mitchell Lynn Reddick. William Earl Russell. Thomas Arlen Shepherd. Donald Dennis Sledge. Charles E. Stevens. Charles Edward Steins. Delano Rudolph Suggs. Eugene Murphy Sumner. Brenda Lou Tapp. Leonard Everett Thomas. Curtis Clement Tyler, Jr. F. Lamar Wakefield. Douglas Wavell Walton. Mervyn Blythe Whaley in absentia. Leon Solomon White. Frank Walsh Wood. Morris Garland Ray in absentia. Robert Lee Wynn. Woodrow Edward Yancey. William Fox Yates. President Binkley.
Dean Brown.
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Theology with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to be invested with the Master of Theology hood and to receive your diploma.
Claude Davis Bowen. Lamar Judson Brooks. Hubert Macon Denton Jr. William M. Dixon in absentia. James Dole. John Calvin Durrance. William Robert Floyd. Marvin Lauren Gold. Robert Jackson Martin. Allison Leon Smith.
I have the honor to present Professor James E. Tile, who will deliver a charge to the graduates.
President Bentley, Dean Brown, Dr. Bowen, and members of the faculty, friends, and especially members of the graduating class. My part on the program is entitled Charge to the Graduates. From the alacrity and enthusiasm with which most of you marched across this platform a few moments ago, I judge that you came here to get a discharge today instead of hearing a charge. What I shall attempt to do is to remind you of what I believe is a part of the Christian stewardship, and more particularly, the stewardship of the Christian minister. I shall look at this stewardship as a threefold matter, as threefold in character: the stewardship of remembrance, the stewardship of involvement, and the stewardship of anticipation. First, the stewardship of remembrance. We remind ourselves that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. We are not faithful to our stewardship unless we are faithful to the witness of the faithful of all past generations. The church, it is said, is a community of memory and of hope. The minister is that member of the church in whom the long pilgrimage of the people of God springs to a luminous focus of remembrance. Events and personalities of far-off times are his familiar companions, and through his sensitive interpretation become contemporaries of the living household of faith. This is why the books of the minister's library are not dust bins stacked side by side on his shelves, but rather are keys by which he unlocks for his people the treasures of the past, treasures which by diligent scholarship and creative imagination are transported into the present. The minister leads his people to search the scriptures in order that the treasury of remembrance may be opened to them. For in the scriptures is shown how God in ages past led his sheep like a shepherd and has borne his people on eagle wings into the unknown future. Above all, the minister leads his people to remember Jesus Christ, in whom we believe God has revealed himself for all time and each time. Jesus Christ, said H. Richard Niebuhr, is not only the Jew who suffered for the sins of Jews and so for our own sins. He is also the member of the Roman world community through whom the Roman past is made our own. He is the man through whom the whole of human history becomes our history. Now there is nothing that is alien to us. All the struggles searching after light, all the wanderings of our peoples, all the sins of men in our places become parts of our past through him. So do not neglect the stewardship of remembrance. If you do, you will impoverish your people, your ministry, and yourself. Secondly, the stewardship of involvement. I use the term stewardship of involvement to stand for a ministry of Christian service and servanthood in the present. The God to whom we are agents of ministry has involved himself redemptively in our time and our world. To be a minister of Jesus Christ is to involve oneself in God's own involvement in the world. We are recognizing, I think, more poignantly today that a ministry of involvement is a ministry of repentance. We repent so that the kingdom of God may come. We repent and thereby detach ourselves from old obsessions and old injustices. We repent and thereby find the courage to detach ourselves from an inordinate investment in a time which passes on and passes away. We repent and thereby find the freedom to accept the tentativeness of all our mundane decisions and solutions, the freedom to fight for open forums and open horizons, the freedom to embrace ethical conflict and battle in achievement of God's will, the freedom to make new experiments, dream new dreams, and see new visions in accordance with the moving will of a dynamic God. A ministry of involvement is a ministry of intercession. Intercession means to prostrate oneself before God for the sake of his fellow man. It means also to stand between one's brother and the terror that walks by night and the arrow that flieth by day. A ministry of intercession today may involve standing at the peril of one's very life in the defile of a 20th century Thermopylae and saying of the giant evils of our time, they shall not pass. A ministry of involvement for the years ahead must envision an engagement of the gospel with all areas of human need, and most especially with those areas which are controverted and controversial. The gospel, for example, must not be identified with economic progress, but the minister must lead the church to see how poverty denies opportunity to freeborn children to see how ignorance dwarfs personality, how injustice destroys personhood both in the oppressor and in the oppressed, and prevents creative community, how apathy in the church towards great human needs removes the church from the pulsing currents of the world's life and consigns it to the backwaters of inanity and irrelevance. The minister of the future must involve himself in bringing the redeeming gospel to individual persons, in identifying the great areas of human need, and in addressing Christian understanding and compassion to those areas, in determining with acute insight the sources of power in the world's life, and of infiltrating and invading those sources with a Christian witness. Third and lastly, the stewardship of anticipation. By this term, I mean that the minister endeavors to lead his people to live in the strength of an unshakable hope, to apprehend in the present the powers of an age to come. We do not know what even a day will bring forth, nor do we know the topography and appointments of a future civilization which will emerge from the rendings of war, from social turbulence, national realignments, population explosions, and the continued aggressive application of a Flash Gordon technology. We only know that the God of yesterday and today is the God of tomorrow. He is our hope. The minister with his people faces the future like Abraham, sojourning in the land of promise, seeking a city which hath foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. For a minister and people are sojourners in the land of promise. The land of promise is like any land, characterized by hot sun, winter cold, summer drought, joys and sorrows, victories and defeats. It is in this land that you will live as a sojourner, at home but not at home, surrounded by nothing permanent, borne along by change, transition, and perhaps revolution. Always a seeker after the unseen and the intangible, in quest of reconciliation, peace, and brotherhood, which obstinately, it seems, will not come, or which come only in strange and partial ways. For the land of promise looks like any other land. Each resurrection city is squalid with the poverty, misery and chicanery of any land without promise, except that it stands as a land shot through with dreams, overshadowed by the hopes and fumbling aspirations of a people on the march. From a rainy dawn through mud and thunder towards a heavenly city whose battlements gleam obscurely from the distant margins of the world. Each new time, no doubt, will have its great nobilities as well as its great and sordid failures. But it will be also exodus for you who will live your lives and ministries in the next 25 years. Exodus. A heart-rending farewell to old securities and a venture into the unknown. A time of crossing deserts and seas, of forward probings and back slidings, of encampments in the wilderness. It will be your task to point out to your people the pillar of cloud which leads forward by day and the pillar of fire which shines in the darkest night. If each new time will be Exodus, it will be also Easter, a time in which the church cherishes and proclaims God's great open secret of the ages, that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead and has set him above all thrones and dominions and eras of history, has brought life and immortality to light in him, and has determined to sum up all things in him. In the years ahead, you will be guided by Easter's unquenchable light. It will guide you not just to a stairway to the stars, but to the pains and cries of this very earthy world. For faith, says Jürgen Moltmann, wherever it develops into hope, causes not rest, but unrest. Not patience, but impatience. Those who hope in Christ can no longer put up with reality as it is, but begin to suffer under it, to contradict it. Peace with God means conflict with the world, for the goad of the promised future stabs inexorably into the flesh of every unfulfilled present. This hope makes the Christian church a constant disturbance in human society. It makes the church the source of continual new impulses towards the realization of righteousness, freedom, and humanity here in the light of the future that is to come. This hour is an occasion of heartiest congratulations to you at this graduation time. May the God of grace and the God of hope lead you to be faithful and joyful in your stewardship as ministers of the gospel in the challenging and demanding years ahead of you. This is our wish and our prayer.
Eternal God, whose grace and truth have brought us to this hour, we commit to thy care each member of this graduating class and every member of this quiet company of thy people. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forever. Amen.